is Possibilities and Promises Session of Europa. My name is Jonna and I'm an alcoholic from Stockholm. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve the common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for a membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are all self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allowed with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution that does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. About anonymity, our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Thus, we respectfully ask that AA speakers and AA members do not be photographed, videotaped, or identified by full name, or audio tapes, and in published or broadcast reports of our meetings, including those reports on new media technologies such as internet. The assurance of anonymity is essential in our efforts to help other problem drinkers who may wish to share our recovery program with us. And our tradition of anonymity reminds us that AA principles comes before personalities. The meeting at Europa are being recorded, so we ask that you only identify with your first name and city when you're sharing. This is a topic meeting. Topic meetings begins with speakers sharing on the topic, followed by open sharing. While topic meetings are open for anyone to attend, participation is limited to those who have a desire to stop drinking. So please welcome our first speaker, Wakefield.
I'm Wakefield. I'm a real alcoholic of your type and kind from Seattle, Washington. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
I am really surprised that there's no copy of the big book up here. And so I hope that no one's offended, but I'm going to read the ninth step promises from my phone. I read them. I did this once in a meeting and somebody said, "Oh, you're just showing off that you have a fancy phone." And I was just thinking, no, I'm just happy to be able to carry the big book with me wherever I go. Let me ask first. So it's kind of a workshop format. Does anybody know what the sentence is in the big book just before the promises? Exactly. I'll read it so everyone can hear it. I think. As God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. I will read them in a second, but you know, I'm in the U.S., almost every meeting I've gone to in July has been about the seventh step. And I have a real problem with the seventh step, because I have problems all the time, but you know, the seventh step, it asks me to be willing. It says, "I am now ready that you should take away, that you should have all of me, good and bad." And then I have to give it up, but, you know, and I can have my character defects removed only as they stand in the way of service to other people. I just want them gone, you know. If they stand in the way of service to other people at 3 o'clock, they may not be in the way to other people at 5 o'clock, and there I am back with my character defects in front of me. And so 8 and 9 were really, really hard for me because I am not someone who really gets along with other people. You know, it was easier to drink than to be around other people. But the ninth step promises say, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, We will see how our experience can help, can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. I am the kind of person that thought that the day that I got to AA, because I had done the hard work of showing up, that, you know, I should get all of the promises. I should get all of the good things that AA offered. And so what I decided to share today was the fact that they told me when I got here to go find a sponsor. And they said, find a sponsor who has everything that you want, and that's the person you need for a sponsor. So I'm a gay guy. I found this really cute sponsor who had a really nice car. He had a great job and a good boyfriend. He had everything that I wanted. And I thought that's what the promises of AA would give me if I had him for my sponsor. Our relationship lasted a year, and he came home from a cruise on a ship and said that he could no longer be my sponsor because he had wanted to drink the entire time that he was on the cruise, and he didn't feel he could do that and come back and face me because he'd made a commitment to me and to AA. And unfortunately, he went out the next week and drank, and just a few months later, I attended his funeral. What I know today is that there was a lot of truth. What he said has helped me stay in this program, because once you make a commitment to other people, you start to get the promises. You start to work the steps. Now, I have a sponsor. He has a sponsor. I sponsor five guys in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I never have to ask them what step are they working, because they all sponsor somebody. That's one of my rules. I won't sponsor you unless you sponsor other people. So I just ask him, I say, so what step is your sponsee working? Oh, she's on step three. She's been on step three forever. I think that's, you know. And I say, so what are you getting out of it? Because I know that that's the step that they're working. So I asked all of my sponsees about the ninth step, and they all came back and said, you know, it's really crazy for you to ask. You worked us through it. You had us put down on paper what we thought we wanted to say, and then you took a red pen to it, and you just crossed out wherever it was selfish and said, this is not about, you know, you getting the other person to make amends. This is about you actually owning who you were and your part in it. And I think sometimes that's really, really hard for us as alcoholics, because, you know, I was a kind of alcoholic. If you had the life I did, you would have drank like I did. You know, if you had the day that I did, you would have drank like I did. And what I know for me is that the things that I read to you have started to come true. And sometimes I see them and sometimes I don't. You know, do I have lots of money? I have enough money. I have food. I have a home. I don't own it. I don't have a car. There are things that I think that I want. But the promises don't say you get the things that you think that you want. It tells you that fear of economic insecurity will leave you. Now, you know, I don't have any fear of economic insecurity, even in today's world economy. You know, I just have a knowledge of finally being able to move into action. I thought I was going to retire. I know this is a young people's meeting. But my sponsor tells me to always share the fact that when in the United States we have this thing called Social Security, and they send you a letter every year showing where your earnings have been and what they've put away for you in terms of savings. And from the time I got out of college until the time I stopped drinking, it was a downward slope. And since I've been sober, it's been a consistently upward slope. And I thought I was going to retire at age 60. I'll be 58 next month. And the economy has said that I won't be able to retire. So now I'm having to think about what is my economic future? Do I have any fear of it? No, because I'm taken care of as long as I don't drink. You know, as long as I, somehow or another, if I work the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, I get to have the things that I need. Never, almost never, the things that I want. I still want the cute boyfriend, I still want the car, I still want all of those things, but none of those things give you inner peace. I know lots of people that have lots of things, but people always say, Wakefield, you seem so content. I am absolutely and unequivocally content, and it's because I have worked the steps, I still work the steps. You know, if somebody were to ask me for any advice on the ninth step, my advice would be you should be a meeting-dependent alcoholic. In other words, you know, if what you used to do to always make sure you had a drink, you should always know where your next meeting is. Now, I will tell you, these fancy phones have little apps that you can get that will tell you where the next meeting is. But, you know, with the internet today and with phone numbers, you know, we should always be connected to someone who can help us stay sober. And we should always use our phones for that purpose. If you don't have at least 5 alcoholics in your phone, you must be your first week in the program. But I would encourage, if you want the promises to come true for you, to practice calling other alcoholics. And actually just call somebody. Don't wait until you need something. Call somebody and say, hi, this is a practice call. And they'll say, what? I don't need anything, but I'm practicing using my phone so that when I have the moments where I can't see the promises coming true, I can talk to another alcoholic. And it's much easier to call them on that day and say, this is not a practice call, it's the real thing. Can you just hang out with me on the phone for a minute? And so it's been a pleasure sharing, and I'll turn it over to my colleague. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Irma. I'm an alcoholic from Vilnius, Lithuania.
Hi, Irma.
And I want to thank for this year. It was really good. I have on the mood of promises now and perspective in my life. I know when I was thinking about my year, it just was like 1 hour before. I was thinking, where is the key for my perspective and promises in my life and my sobriety? And it's not good to say that it was my past till 22 while I was drinking and I didn't know that I'm alcoholic. And then I became AA member. So this is black and white, but it helps me to understand where I am now. I didn't know how to drink from my childhood, from my first drink. I just got drunk from my first drink. So now when I'm in the AA program, I just realized that this is a genetic problem. And I wasn't happy all my life till I came to the program. I had the good moments. I was traveling, I had friends, I went to school. Everything was good, but it was like, and what? What's more? What I can get more? I want more. Where is the happiness? And I found alcohol for that reason. So I wasn't like fearful. I could speak with people. I couldn't drink alone because I was sad and whatever. And in the last year before coming to the program, I don't know what happened. Just in the 6 months, I lost everything. It was in the last year of my bachelor. I was writing thesis, I was working, and like my future, like not a dream work, but it was okay. And I lost everything in 6 months. because in the September he said, I will show that guy who left me how I have to live and how I will build my life. And what happened, I just ended up with a boat shaped here, shivering and drinking and smoking and full of fear and negative thinking. And it just was so bad that the only reason which I saw it was to kill myself. I was 22, I was finishing my university, and all the perspective was, all the life perspective was in the future. But I didn't see the meaning in that. And the only thing what I was looking is like, how to end that? How to end this pain which I was carrying for 22 years? And this was the step, and I start to look for the help. If I wouldn't find the AA, probably I wouldn't be alive today. And this is the promises and perspective with the AA program which I have as a young person. I have a perspective for the new life. Now I'm 2 years sober, 2 years and 3 months, and everything's changed in these 2 years. I'm traveling. At the beginning of my sobriety, I thought, okay, I'm stuck in business for all my life. I will never go abroad again. I was thinking I will never have fun in my sobriety because I get sober with the older people. I thought that I will never have friends, boyfriend. I would never have a job because I lost, because I was drinking, because I'm an alcoholic. Now I won't have the job. It sounds insane, but I have this thinking. I thought that this fear and anxiety will be insanity will be all the time with me, and like I just will be bad feeling person all my life. And then I saw these people in AA that just like were smiling and felt relaxed, and they have family, work. I just was thinking, like, maybe I can have this too. And this was like a promise for me. If I will work the program, if I will do the steps, I can have my new life. As a young person in AA, I can rebuild my life from like cleaning this to 22 years, and like, okay, now I will learn how to clean the bath again. Now I will learn how to do my bed again. Now I will learn how to go to the bar again, not drinking. And I started to learn new things, and I'm really thankful for my sponsors who brought, like, I have a strong program, a step program. But it was a bit in different ways, not like in the big book. But I think this is what I learned, this is this promise that I live one day and I'm waiting for what life brings to me. And now I have a sponsor from USA, and she came to AA as me, 22 or 23 years old, and now she has a family and work career, and I'm redoing the steps together with her, and I'm traveling here. Today I'm here, and probably I will visit some AA in different countries, and probably I will go to study again. And this is for me a promise and perspective. And the most important, which was at the beginning, I have peace with myself. This is what the most important. It's not the work, it's not the job, it's not the boyfriend, it's not, I don't know, the apartment, it's not the country. This is the peace with myself, and that I started to accept myself, who I am, because I all the time thought, you are better, and you are better, and you have more, and I'm the worstest. And now I started to accept myself, and I know what I like, I know how I'm acting in some kind of situation, so I can predict what can happen. And for me, this is like this acceptance of myself means a lot with this inner peace and with the going to the people, to the people, going to you and speaking with you. Because before I was, and I'm still, I have this fear of going to the people. But I know that it would be okay because in these 2 years, nothing bad had happened. Just going up. And this is a promise, this is a perspective. And the other thing is that before I came to AA, I had this dream. I'm really into the films, and I was thinking, if I will get sober, I will work with films. And now I'm working with films, and this is again the perspective, the promise. If I will keep coming back and work with the program, I will have what I should have. And I don't know, it's just, I can trust my higher power now, what I couldn't do before. And everything is not that I don't have it. It's like I see the changes in my life. And this is like a promise for me. That everything will be all right, or that everything will be as it should be. And I just have to live one day, do steps, call to AA members, do fellowship, do service. And it's wonderful. So thank you that I want to live today.
Right. Thank you so much. The meeting is now open for sharing. In order to give everyone a chance, we ask you to limit your share to 3 minutes. Please come up to the front to share. Who would like to begin?
Maybe they still have lots of questions about promises.
Oh, does anyone have a question? Okay, does anyone want to share? Okay, go ahead.
Again. Hi, my name is Michael, I'm an alcoholic. I'm from Copenhagen, Denmark. And thank you so much for your story, both of you, and sharing. It's very inspiring and very, very good to listen to. One of the things that I noticed a lot, Wakefield, was that you were talking about the promises coming true. And you're not really, as far as I understood, you're not really noticing it. Because I had that experience as well. I was at some point, I was like, reading these promises, we also read them at all the meetings in Copenhagen. They usually get read out at the end of the meeting. And I was sitting there one day, and I'm like, when does this happen? You know, when am I going to get all this? And I've been through the steps, and I'm doing the thing, and walking the walk as far as I can, and doing all this, but I'm not getting it. Why am I not getting it? And somebody told me this. Well, there's nothing to get. You know, it's about what you give. And I started trying to give more. And eventually I started noticing that actually, yeah, my finances weren't all that great, but I wasn't afraid of them anymore. And yes, I did have a lot of these things that I actually needed. And just, I wasn't afraid anymore. I wasn't nervous about walking up in front of a crowd, for instance. I wasn't nervous about dancing sober, for instance, and doing these things that I was actually very nervous about before, even with 15, 20 beers in me. And just, I don't know, it's just these things. I mean, I've only been sober now for 14 months, and it's before that I had 9 months, and then I relapsed, and it's a whole other can of worms, so I won't go into it here. But so I'm very new in the program, but it really is. I'm fortunate enough to have come into a home group in Copenhagen, which is it's a men's group, and they're pretty goddamn hardcore, which is a good thing. We keep each other accountable. And I just had a guy throw a pin at me because I was talking about my fourth step again. But it's all in good spirit and love and in heart. So I've got a really good sponsor and I've got a really good home group that helps me get going pretty quickly. So with that, you know, me getting pushed into doing the actual work, I'm also getting the rewards. And I can only say, I mean, if it's this good as it is already now, I cannot wait to see what's in store for me. So thank you so much.
Sitting on the floor and I needed to stand up to take my blood. But anyway, it came to my mind that it would be a good idea to share how I use promises with my sponsees. We haven't done it that long time, but the idea is that we have promises on a paper, and I ask the questions like, is it happening in your life or not? And we kind of put the check marks. And for them, it has been very important thing. Of course, this is not my idea. Somebody did that to me. And it felt really, really, really good. But anyway, we are doing it with them because it seems that even though their life is getting better and better and better, in my perspective, they are not kind of noticing it. But when we are doing this kind of checklist sort of thing, the change becomes obvious for them as well. And we can continue doing this kind of on a regular basis to see how the thing is, how the sobriety is going and so on. My I'm from Finland, and there are some words in English that there is just not no muscles in my mouth for that. But anyway, the sad thing is that at the moment, I don't have a sponsor who would do that sort of thing for me, because I would desperately need some sort of... I would need somebody to check on me, how I'm doing on a regular basis. Because I'm the last person usually who notices if I'm not doing okay. And now again, now I'm again in that sort of situation that I have been listening how you people share here, and I'm like, shit. I have noticed that I haven't been doing the stuff that I'm supposed to be doing to make me feel good and make my life good and so on. And that has happened quite a lot when I come to conventions or big meetings like this, that I noticed that how I'm doing. And that's why I left before 10 o'clock last night to go to one place where I'm staying, to be by myself, because I felt like everybody else is so fucking recovered, and I'm like this miserable thing. And what happened, there was this one guy, it was you. Yeah. You shared my story today, yeah. And I felt after that, like, really, really good, and I know that this is the exact right place for me today. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Joel. I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Young People into Action Gothenburg. And resting my laurels is that I study this real close to my heart, because up to a couple of months ago, I was really trying to rest on my laurels a long time. And I almost relapsed because of it. I thought I like, I live in a town up north, and I tried to see what I could get out of the group, what I could get, instead of what I could give to them. I started to resent the group. I started to resent all the people there, and stopped doing the work, stopped doing the actions that I need to do to be in contact with God and be in recovery. A couple of months ago, I started working the program again with a new sponsor in Gothenburg. And from the beginning, I thought, like, I have to do another fourth step. I have to do a new inventory about all the things I've been doing. But that was not all. Like, all the things I actually needed to do was start doing amends again. Start working my ninth step. Start doing, trying to incorporate this principle of AA into my life. Not only on the meetings where I can say the words, but outside I wouldn't do the actions. Because I know this intellectually, but I have to know it in my heart as well. And one thing that my sponsors used to say to me is, action is the magic word. Words are not the magic action. Because I know the words, but I have to do the actions as well. Otherwise, I will relapse. I will lose contact with God and to this program and all these amazing people I'm getting to know here. And that's nothing. I don't want that. I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of AA, young people in AA. I want to be all over the world meeting new friends and just having a blast. Because this new way of living is amazing. I love it. And hopefully I'll be able to keep in touch with God, work, do the work, and just not, and not just saying words, saying what I need to do. Say, I need to do my 10th step. I need to do my 11th step on the night. I need to do the 11th step in the morning. I need to give this program away so I can keep myself. I actually have to do these things as well. I can't just say it. I have to do the actions as well. So hopefully you'll not have to experience like resting on your laurels, because it's not worth it. I promise you, it's not worth it. Yes, you're sicker. Oh shoot, I was so bad, so ill. Oh my God. So I'm just glad to be here, and I hope you're all having a blast. I am. So thank you so much.
My name is Jade and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi.
Thank you for sharing and your stories. It was last year. I have been sober for like 5.5 years, and I've been working in this program, living in this program. I have helped one and other people outside, and I was educating myself, and I was going on meeting almost every day, and praying to God so much, every day, every morning. And I was thinking, what is wrong with me? I'm still going up and down in my mood. I'm depressed, I'm angry, I hate people, I'm self-destructed, and every day, this darkness. And then after a few things happening to me, I realized in October last year that I haven't really turned myself into God, like, totally. I was making my own will, like working and, all these kind of things. So I went into a church and I just, on my knees, and they helped me there and I prayed, blah, blah, blah. And there took me like 3 months more after that. And I felt there was something happening to me because it was so hard things happening to me. So I'm very happy that I realized that thing. And after 3 months more, I felt there was something different happening, and then the light just like this, and there was something new in my sobriety, and all these things. And it's so hard for me to explain, but the difference before and after is so big that I cannot believe that this is true, actually. I've been, almost every day, I've been in a good mood, and I have had a few hours, maybe some seconds, some minutes, but it's going like that, and there is something happening. I realized there was so much things just like that. And I'm so much more careful with myself now, and with everything I do and blah, blah. I'm not afraid. That is not the thing, because then it should be wrong again. But I think But I enjoy life, and the difference now is that I want to live. I don't want to die. And now I know, and I was thinking, thank you, God, for all these like 5.5 years, soon it will be 6, but anyway, I know I have done everything. I've listened to other people, even if some you don't listen, but I listen. Anyway, so, and everything, and that. So, I think I'm believing proof also that it really works. And I have done all, and I'm still doing this and helping people and all these kind of things. And I'm so happy, really. I'm so happy that the light has come in. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Christian, not an alcoholic.
Hi, Christian.
The promises, you know, I came in and out of the rooms for a long time, and the promises were always there on the wall, and they were always red, and they never meant shit to me. You know, they were just a bunch of words, just like all the other slogans. And really, as good as it got for me as I came in and out of the rooms was just like stopping drinking for a little while. And feeling better, you know, getting myself out of the jackpots that I was in that brought me back into the rooms each time. But it wasn't until, you know, I guess a few years ago when it was all about sort of letting go, you know. And letting go is another slogan. It just didn't mean anything to me. But what happened to me is that I just gave up. I gave up everything. And the big book talks about, you know, we have to let go of our old ideas. And until you let go of all of them, you know, the results are nil. And there's, you know, there's stories to bear this out in the big book. You know, it's like the people that hold on to those, you know, notions, a couple of notions, because they've been holding on to them for so long. And that was me. I was holding on to them. And I didn't, like, decide that I was going to let everything go. And then it went away. You know, that would have been good, but it didn't happen that way. It was critical mass of absolute misery for me. And I shared this in the last meeting. You know, I was in the fetal position, and I'd never reached out for God because, you know, I just never needed God. You know, and I was lost. And everything that I had always tried, and I had tried this stuff since I was a child. You know, I'd put up these walls since I was a child to protect myself, they just didn't work anymore as an adult. And in fact, they not only didn't work, they were killing me, you know? And rather than go back and drink, I sort of lived with myself for a while, long enough to realize that everything that I believed, everything, was wrong. And so there was a point, I don't know if it happened in a day and it didn't, angels didn't come down from the sky or anything, but it was clearly a point in my life when I gave up the ghost, you know? And I didn't know what was on the other side of that, but I gave up, man. And I did not have high hopes for what was going to happen, you know, at doing that. But, you know, I was so sick of feeling the way I was feeling. And it was that point that I was open for the program. And I was open for God, and I was open to actually begin to understand the promises. And the promises started happening, you know. I don't know if I had this, like, point where I, like, looked at them and said, oh, yeah, you know, I can check that off and that off. But they came true in ways that I never thought, I never imagined that they would happen, you know. And I think letting go, for me, it's mostly about, I spent a lot of time, I still do this, you know, I have to let go all the time. I spend a lot of time about thinking about what other people are thinking. I try to predict, you know, what's going to happen. I create scenarios in my head that, you know, upset me or piss me off so that I can raise my defenses and protect myself. And that's before I get out of the shower in the morning. And so I come down, I see somebody that I haven't even seen that day, and I'm already pissed off at them because of this scenario I created. That's the kind of shit that I do. That's the dangerous place, the dysfunctional playground that is my mind, you know? And letting go means that, you know, I don't predict, I don't forecast, I don't sit and think about things that I've done and try and change them, make the scenario different. It's gone, it's done. You know, I don't create dialogues in my head that don't exist in reality. I do that, but on the days that I get closest to letting go, I let those go. And the first time that I was doing that, first time that I was like actually really letting go, it felt like I was cheating. Because I had spent all my life doing this, protecting myself in ways, expelling all this energy, you know, that for things that I just couldn't do anything about or didn't exist. I'd create them. And so, yeah, it was like cheating. I was like, what the hell? You know, I got all this like extra space in my head. You know, what do I do with that? You know? Then I realized it wasn't cheating. You know, I was opening the door. And it's an inside job, you know? AA is an inside job, but ultimately it has to be about an outside job. It has to be about getting the fuck out of my head and out of myself, and it has to be about other people. But that was my journey. And that was how the promises began to come true. And again, it was in ways that, you know, I didn't even imagine, you know? I was like, oh, that's what that meant. Anyway, thank you.
Hey, I'm Yusfina. I'm
an alcoholic. Hi.
A year ago, I was in a community connection and shared about my last relapse just a few days back then. And that's a year ago. And the promises to me are what you do. In my life, the promises are happy, but just in small pieces that I can manage one day. And the promises, in the beginning I read them, yeah, maybe it works for you, but it will never work for me, blah, blah, blah. I'm not worthy. But today I have, okay, what I want is not really what I need, obviously. So, what you do is really inspiring to me, because the promises are working for you, and I trust you guys, and some of you become really close friends, and I trust you. So, if I do what you do, the promises will happen for me too. Not just on a daily basis, but, you know, it's a bigger thing. And I see you you can manage a new relationship, you can have new work, and you get a new apartment, and you know, you get up in the morning and do what you do every day, and the promises work for you. So I believe that it will work for me too, if I do what you do. And that's inspiring to me. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Giulia. I'm an alcoholic. It's so scary. I'm thinking about it. Thank you for your lead. Thank you, especially you, Irma. We have almost the same time, so it's like, I won't exist. No, but we don't do this in the country. So, anyways, when I first came here, I was really, I was going to this group and people were like, I have this new car and I have this new stuff and I'm so happy. And I was like, I was really annoyed about that because I was like, I'm never going to get these things. And now I know because I didn't thought I wouldn't just deserve it. So, well, I have a new apartment, so I've been living in my apartment for like five days or so, and it's so strange, you know. It's really new, you know, and the people that live there are really fancy, and in the beginning I couldn't really relate to them, but messages. I was like sneaking. I still do sometimes, like sneaking in. Like I always come in late, like 3 a.m. because I feel like an alcoholic, you know, walking in. But and this is the thing. It's like I have to force myself to believe that I'm actually worth it to live there. You know, I'm like, because when I was drinking, I didn't think that if a good thing happened to me, I was like, no, I have to destroy it, I have to drink, I have to, yeah, and you know, I'm really nervous, so I just have to stop talking about it. But you know, I'm really thankful to be here, and thank you guys to be here too, so keeping me sober, and we're being sober together, so thank you.
Thank you.